right. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, I invite you to turn with us to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And last Sunday, of course, we began looking at this series on adding to your faith. And we looked at the first concept of that, which, of course, is the foundation, the building block, which is faith. And now, starting this morning, we're going to look at the things that we need to add to our faith. Good morning, sir. How are you? We need a... You know, we have a nickname for Joe. We need a nickname for you.
I'm late as a herd.
Huh?
I'm late as a herd.
But, yeah, we are talking about virtue this morning. To courageously do right. Thinking about this first fruit to add to our faith, and that is virtue. And who would like to read there Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8? Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8. Miss Martha, go ahead.
Okay, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things.
All right. So the part that we want to focus on is kind of that second half of that verse there, where it says, if there be any virtue, think on these things. Now, when you get into the Bible and you start to read both the Old and the New Testament, you'll find very quickly that there's really only two people in the entire Bible who are specifically mentioned for displaying the character trait of having virtue, of having this this character to courageously do right no matter what the circumstances, no matter what happens. Of course, we know the first to be Jesus there in the New Testament in Mark chapter 5. In verse 30, but also Ruth in the Old Testament, Ruth chapter 3 and verse number 11. Now, even though those are the only two that are specifically mentioned by name, we know that there were countless other Bible people who demonstrated this trait, even if it was not specifically mentioned in their character bio, in who they were, and so on and so forth. And so we're thinking about virtue this morning, and the word virtue means manliness. It means of valor, and that is excellence. And so now, even though it means manliness, it can apply to everybody, men, women, because men and women can be both people of valor. They can be strive for excellence in their life. They don't have to do things half-hearted. I was going to say another word, but half-hearted or without their full heart. And you know, today we live in a society, unfortunately, where people are, especially since COVID, now folks are just kind of coasting along. They don't take pride in their work. They don't take pride in what they do. They're just there to get the bare minimum. That's right. And you know, I don't know about you, but I mean, as soon as I was able, ninth grade came, I went right to the school counselor, got my working papers, and went right to work in ninth grade. And I mean, you know, most of you know I have OCD, and you know, some would say that I'm a perfectionist or whatever the case may be. Yeah, and you know, and I want things done right, and you know, now, as you know, as we've gotten older, and you know, some of my health issues have crept up, there are some things I can't do myself anymore, and so I have to learn to delegate those tasks and those responsibilities. And still, I find myself going after people, and you know, after they do something, and my wife knows what this is about, and I will what's the proper terminology here?
Criticize.
No, not critique, not criticize, but. I will. Yes, I will. I will touch up spots that may have been missed. That, yeah, let's put it that way.
They were missed.
What?
They were not missed.
They were missed. I mean, a blind Stevie Wonder could have saw them. But you know, I go behind and I touch up. And, I mean, sometimes, you know, yesterday I came over. I got here about 9 a.m., had a bridge meeting, and then we were here till about, about quarter to six, or no,
it's
quarter to seven.
Yeah.
And then went home and watched the Phillies beat the Braves. And so it was a good day, and a good night. But so even though this word virtue means manliness, it can apply to both men and women, because both men and women, they can be people of valor. They can strive for excellence. They don't have to do the bare minimum. And so the first character trait a Christian is to add to his faith is that character trait of virtue. The Webster 1828 Dictionary defines excellence as the state of processing good qualities in an unusual or eminent degree to go beyond. And there's a scripture, I believe it's in the Gospel of Mark, that talks about as Christians going the second mile, not just being that Christian that's content to do the bare minimum, to go, you know, you go that first mile, well then, you know, you push a little bit harder, you push a little bit further, and you go that second mile for the honor and glory of God to go beyond. So virtue is doing right courageously. That's what it means to have virtue. That's what it means to be virtuous. And so through that quality of courageously doing right, it's mentioned in many verses, but the words virtue, virtuous, and virtuous are mentioned in only 10 verses. Old and New Testament, you'll find that word or that combination of the word virtue only mentioned 10 times. And in three of those verses, virtue is defined as force, specifically miraculous power, and that's in reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so virtue is referring, as we think about courageous doing right, is referring to a moral goodness. And so this is the conduct, the behavior a person, especially a Christian, should have after we get saved. You know, before we get saved, you know, there are people. Now, we know the Bible tells us there is unrighteous, no, not one. The Bible tells us that our righteousness is as filthy rags. But even before salvation, there are people that, you know, that they could maybe be considered virtuous and have virtue. They seek to do that which is right. They're morally upright people. They just lack salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. But now after salvation, after we get saved, yes, you may have had it before salvation, but now after we get saved, after we trust Christ, after we put our trust in Him, now we're expected to have these things, because as a Christian, we're supposed to be different. We're supposed to show the world and our unsaved friends, our unsaved family members, we're supposed to show them a difference in our lives so that they will want what we have. That they will say, hey, there's something different about this person, you know, this Jesus that they talk about, this God they talk about, He really does change lives. He really does make a difference. And so this is what we should have after salvation. And even though the inside or the heart is the most important, and that's what needs salvation, the inside will change the outside. And so, you know, that's why sometimes you see on a church sign or whatever it says, come as you are, leave changed. Because every church should have that mindset. You know, people come in, come as they are. We should not expect somebody that is not saved, that does not know Christ as their Savior, that they don't know the first thing about salvation or church or Christ or any of these things we've been talking about or will talk about. You know, we should not expect someone to come in and, you know, automatically be talking right, looking right, dressing right, acting right, you know, whatever the case may be, because they don't yet know Christ as their Savior. They're not yet a Christian. And so, you know, they're going to, you know, not be and not look or be what we have in our minds a Christian should be. And at so many churches, they, for whatever reason, somebody comes in and they don't fit in right away or say the right thing or do the right thing or dressed the right way, churches today, they don't take into account, well, maybe they're not a Christian yet. Maybe they don't come from a religious background, and this is just who they are. And until Christ makes a change in them, then that's who they are. And, you know, I've heard accounts and stories that people have been asked to leave churches and not come back. And we had one fellow at our church in Philly, and that day he went to, I think he said, two or three different churches, and all two or three different churches kicked him out because he, you know, he had a little bit of a stench to him. He, you know, he was a homeless guy. And that day he decided he wanted to go to church, and because he had questions spiritually, and we knew that he wasn't there just to pull some type of con, because not once did he ask for money, not once did he ask for food, not once did he ask for anything. We offered to take him somewhere to get him something to eat afterwards, and he politely declined. But we were able to answer his spiritual questions, and Then he made a profession of faith in Christ, and now he got from Philly or to Philly from Delaware, and so he was based in Delaware, and so we were able to get him hooked up with a church in Delaware, and as far as I know, as of a year ago, he is still in church, and got himself cleaned up, got himself a job, got himself an apartment, and And why? Because the church took the time to be patient with him, answer questions he had, and show him the way from the Bible. And that's what we should try to do. Try and show people the way from the Bible. And that you know, if you do that, you can't go wrong. There's a church in Camden, New Jersey that, you know, in the Bible, there's a verse in the Bible that talks about a city that's set on a hill, its light cannot be hid. And so this particular church in Camden, New Jersey, it sits on top of a hill. And at the bottom of the hill was, I don't know if it's still there, but there was a housing project that was there at the bottom of the hill. Now, this is the type of church that you would consider affluent. Uppity up, highfalutin, and not once did that church ever reach out to that housing project, and when asked, well, why don't you go after those folks down there and try and get them in church, the answer was, well, we don't want those people in our church. And unfortunately, that's the mindset of some churches. We don't want those people, but we want these people. And that ought not to be. We should want every type of people in the church. And so I say this, if the Lord makes a change on the inside of you, then that will manifest itself on the outside. That's why we don't have to preach on standards. And, you know, yes, we have standards and all the rest, but I've never been one to harp on standards and, you know, everything else. Because as you get in the Bible, as you read the scriptures, you have the Holy Spirit of God, the same as I do, living on the inside, that will, as you're reading your Bible, will convict you of things that need to be changed. And now the Bible tells us we're to preach the whole counsel of God. And so eventually we will hit things in Scripture. And that's why I preach expository type of sermons, verse by verse. Because what happens is a preacher can take a topic from the Bible and pull that topic out and then cherry pick verses to support his sermon, so to speak. That is not proper. That is not proper hermeneutics. That is not proper interpretation of Scripture. The Scripture defines the Scripture. The Bible defines the Bible, and so that's why we preach expositorily. Here, you very rarely find me preaching a quote unquote topical message, because I can get in the flesh and hit subjects that the Scripture has no basis for that I'm quoting. And so that's why we do that. But the inside will change the outside. And so who'd like to look up there? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Now, Katie, go ahead.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
All right. So we see here, if we're in Christ, we're a what?
New.
We're a new creature. What we used to be, we're not that way anymore. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So now that we're saved, now that we're born again, we don't act the same way. We don't dress the same way. We don't talk the same way. We don't go to the same places we used to get to go. All things become new. Old things are passed away. Now, that doesn't mean that all of a sudden, you know, we get highfalutin and, you know, get our chest puffed out and all prideful and, well, now we're holier than thou and better than you. Because listen, even after we get saved, we're still sinners. We still struggle with sin. We still struggle with the old man. We still struggle with the flesh. We wake up every morning and it's a new day. It's a new battle. It's a new set of circumstances. And every day we have to decide, okay, who's winning out today? The Holy Spirit of God or the old man? Or the old flesh. And some days, the flesh wins out. Friday, my flesh won out. Or was it Friday? When was it?
Thursday.
No, it was Friday.
I think it was Thursday.
It was one of these days.
It was one of these days.
We need our car detailed. And we need our car detailed quickly.
Yesterday.
And we called around everybody here in the valley. Everybody's booked up around here. So I started looking in horse heads and big flats. And yes, sir.
Do you still need a detail?
We do.
I'll take it home with me today.
Are you sure? Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Wonderful. I will
talk
with you afterwards. I found somebody in horse heads, and it was going to be very reasonable. And I said, okay, can you get it in today? Talking about Friday. And he said, yep. I said, okay, what time do I need to have it there? He said, 9 a.m., because I'll need it all day. So I get it there at 8:55. I drop Mandy off at work, get there at 8:55. 9 o'clock comes, he's not there. Okay, that's fine, you know. We've had that happen once before, Kerrville, that they were running a little bit late. They were there within 5 or 10 minutes. No big deal. I'm fine. 9:30. So I start driving around horse heads. I'm thinking, okay. So I start searching, and there's a splash wash or whatever.
Didn't you wait till 11? Because you told me it was 11 o'clock.
Oh, yeah. And so finally, he shows up at 11:20. 2 hours and 20 minutes after telling me what time to have it there. And he messaged me. He says, oh, well, there's a drop box. You can drop your keys off. The drop box could not hold any more keys. So I'm thinking, okay, I'll just wait. And he pulls up finally. And he says, are you able to leave it overnight? And then he says, oh, and this car that he was in, who had gotten there after me, he said, oh, and this one is before you. And so my Italian come out.
He made him cry.
I may have made him cry. And he messaged me later on Facebook, and he says, you know, apologize, says, hey, I'll give you a 25% off discount if you want to bring it back. And meanwhile, I'm already back in Sarah. And, but every day, who's going to win out? The flesh or the old man? So I had to apologize to this guy, even though, you know, it was kind of, you know, his doing. And then I had to ask the Lord for forgiveness, but as we get saved. Old things pass away, all things become new. And so we need to try and do that every day. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11. We'd like to read that. Michaela, go ahead, sweetie.
And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God.
All right. And I love this verse because as we think about being sinners, as we think about those who are not yet saved and those who don't yet know the Lord Jesus Christ, sometimes we can be tempted to kind of look down on those people. But this verse reminds us of just really our place. Because it says, and such were some of you. You see, before we got saved, before we trusted Christ, before he saved us, before he made a change in our life, we were that sinner. We struggled with those things people who don't yet know Christ struggled with. And so, you know, before we, you know, get up on our high horse and start to think, oh, well, we're, you know, now we're holier than thou or whatever the case may be. No, we need to remember, yeah, I was kind of in that same boat before salvation. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified. So that means set apart. You're justified. And that word justified, you can remember it as this. Just as if I had never sinned. Just as if I had never sinned. And the justified to the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And then who'd like to look up there? Matthew chapter 12 and verse 33. Matthew chapter 12 verse 33. Joe, go ahead.
Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by its fruit.
All right, so we see there, that last part of the verse, the tree is known by his what? His fruit. And so we see here that as Christians, the Bible tells us that people are going to know if we're Christians by our fruit. Likewise, those who aren't saved, we're going to know them by their fruit, by what they do or lack thereof. And so you think about those who wear a particular uniform, you know, military, police officer, firefighter. Oh.
Skip the last one. I can't do it.
Last one. Ball player?
That doesn't qualify for what the description is.
It does not.
I'm sorry. I'm going to die on that hill.
Explain why.
Ball player does not sacrifice what the other guys they reference to do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I understand if you see him, you recognize him.
If you see somebody with a fire suit on and a helmet on, what do you think he is?
An EMT. No. I got you. I understand, but a ball player, and then when it says the sacrifices,
yeah,
I don't see what ball players
they don't make
come in
sacrifice
as a sacrificial.
They don't even know
yeah
what the word sacrifice
means. No, that's all. Like, please skip it.
Yeah, no, no, no. And
we don't need people kneeling. No, I'm sorry.
They wouldn't even give up $100 when they have $100 million.
Yeah, yeah, and but you know these folks who wear the a uniform, right? We can identify them by who they are, because they have the uniform. You go into Chick-fil-A, you're going to expect that they have a Chick-fil-A uniform on, not a McDonald's uniform, huh?
Ew. Chick-fil-A is way better than McDonald's.
Oh, yes, sure. Yes. We need a field trip to Dixon City or something. And
what's Dixon City?
They have the Chick-fil-A.
I'm
yeah
tired.
although they are supposed to be getting a Chick-fil-A in Vestal, Binghamton area, so a couple of them, they said, in fact, about three. Oh, speaking of which, speaking of chicken, let me get off on a tangent here. Yeah, so Friday
was an awful day.
It was an awful day. Awful day. So for lunch, I decide to go. Yes,
yep, you're right.
I decide I'm going to try the new Dairy Queen over in Elmira. It was the blandest food I had ever had. I didn't try the Blizzard. They even messed up the pretzel log things.
How did they mess up the pretzel
pretzel.
I don't know, but it didn't taste like a pretzel. And so.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so now we'll have to go back and try a blizzard because that's what they're known for. Mm-hmm. But, you know.
Make sure they flip in front of you.
Yes,
yes.
Yes.
The best part of the world is I actually had one hit the counter. Yep. That guy's face was like, oh. And
yeah, knowing my luck Friday, it would have fallen, spilled on me, and somehow gotten into the car.
And that would have been
free. Yeah, right.
And,
but that was the day. That was the day on Friday. But yeah, blandest food.
You think it was a mental state you're in? If you're already having a bad day.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. But no, like, I got the chicken tender sandwich and. And
so is that one better than Sonic's, or is Sonic's better?
Oh, Sonic's is better. Raising Cane's is better.
We don't have those here.
Bojangles. What is Raising Cane's?
They have
chicken
a dog.
Place.
Yeah, their mascot is their dog Cane.
Yeah.
And on Christmas, that like last a couple years ago, it was Cane is like a golden retriever or no. Golden
he
lab.
Is a golden or golden
lab.
Lab. Yeah.
And he was dressed up as a Jingle Bell.
Yeah, and last year or a couple, yeah, one year he was dressed up as Kevin McAllister from Home Alone, and
we so, went up here, and they have really good sweet tea.
Yeah, so when we lived in Oklahoma,
the closest one is in Ohio.
We had God's Country in Stillwater, Oklahoma. We had Raising Cane's on this side of the street,
with good garlic bread,
and then we had Chick-fil-A on
right
this side of the
like
street,
right across
like
the
right
street.
Across the street from each other. Huh?
Billboard Wars?
They did not. At least not none that we saw.
At least we
opened it. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, oh, that.
There's a couple of them that get really savage.
Oh. Yeah. Well, now it's Twitter Wars. Like, they go back and forth. And
oh, those get pretty comical. All five of them get going.
Uh-huh. It's like whoever's running their social media needs a raise or something. And, but, yeah, that chicken. Tender sandwich was like the breading broke off, the chicken looked gray. Yeah, it was.
And you still ate it?
Well, no, I stopped after that, and I had my pretzel stick. Oh, and the fries, no salt. No.
Did you ask for no salt?
No. But yeah, it was a day. But I say all that to say this: you go on the McDonald's, you expect the McDonald's uniform. You go into Chick-fil-A, you expect a Chick-fil-A uniform from the workers. You see a police officer. You know, they're not going to have a firefighter uniform, so on and so forth. They're going to have the uniform. And so, at a glance, a man in uniform is identified with the branch of service in which he serves. Likewise, as Christians, we should be quickly recognized as a child of God by our conduct and our behavior. People should look at us and be able to say, there's a Christian because of their virtue, because of the change the Lord Jesus Christ made on the inside. And so I think that there's a good place to stop just the introduction this week. Next week we'll get into the points, starting next week with virtues, responsibility. Brother Kenny, would you close us in prayer this morning?